Shalom. In his book, Generation to Generation, Jewish Rabbi and Family Therapist Edwin Fragman shows how any system can be threatened by crisis and chaos. And any system, regardless whether it be a family, a corporation, or a church, is bound to break down unless there is a non-anxious presence in the system. Now, we all face storms in life. Some are physical, such as hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, floods. Other storms are personal, such as a death in the family, job problems, marital difficulties, child-rearing headaches, etc., etc. Yes, storms are a part of life. The question is not if they will come, or even when they will come. The question is, how will I respond to the storm when it comes? What do I do when I find myself in the storms of life? Today's scripture text found in Acts chapter 27 and chapter 28 can help us, because here Paul went through a terrible storm. And what did Paul do? What did Paul do when he faced one of the fiercest storms of his life? A 14-day trial at sea. I submit to you that he was witnessing. Yes, witnessing. You talk about a non-anxious presence in the midst of a storm. First, let's look at Paul's witness on board the ship. Paul's witness on board the ship. Recorded for us in Acts chapter 27, verse 1 to verse 44. Acts chapter 27, verses 1 to 44. Now, by this time, Paul has been falsely accused, put on trial, and held prisoner by Rome for over 2 years. Now, to avoid being murdered by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, Paul has appealed his case to Caesar, and so the journey to Rome began. Now, Paul had been a prisoner in the city of Caesarea for almost 2 years. Finally, it was decided that Paul should be brought to Rome, and the journey was made by sea. Paul knew what it was like to experience dangers in the sea, because writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, he says he was shipwrecked 3 times and spent a day and a night in the open sea. Now, as Paul faced another difficult sea journey, he knew that he would go to Rome. The voyage to Rome might be dangerous, it might be difficult, but the destination was known. He knew that he must arrive in Rome because God said so. That's recorded for us in Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Question. As a believer in Christ, is your destination known? Our journey through life may sometimes be difficult or even dangerous, but our destination is known. Opening up with chapter 27, verse 1, Paul, we find that Paul was not the only prisoner on board the ship. There were other prisoners. The ship set sail to the city of Myra, verse 5, where Paul entered another ship from Alexandria, which was headed for Rome, we are told in verse 6. The total number of passengers was 276. How do we know? Well, you look at verse 37, it tells us that. There were 276 on this large ship that included Paul, the other prisoners, the soldiers, and the sailors. Now, even at the beginning of the trip, the sailing was difficult. When they arrived at the island of Crete, a told in verse 9 to verse 12, Paul warned them not to go on, but to spend the winter right where they were. I mean, it was already October. It's a dangerous season for sailing, because the dangerous season for sailing in that part of the world was from September 14 to November 11. But they did not listen to the warning which Paul gave them, we are told in verse 11. Instead of heeding Paul's warning, they decided to try to reach the city of Phoenix and spend the winter there. So they sailed for Phoenix, but they never made it. Because why? We are told in verse 14, suddenly there arose a wind of hurricane force. Now, a wind of hurricane force was a terrible, violent storm. And when it comes to storms, sailors know that there is a time to sail and there's a time to stay. But those sailors decided against Paul's warning and set sail when they should have stayed. You know, sometimes such impatience get us into terrible storms, isn't it? Sometimes it is listening to so-called advice, well-meaning advice. Sometimes it's taking the majority view or trusting ideal conditions. So they make a mistake about leaving. Many of us make the same mistake. This is true of husbands and wives. This is true of people who left school, who quit school. It's true of people who left a job when they should have stayed. And sadly, this is sometimes also true about people who leave their church. But let me say to you this morning, you should never leave our church unless we are sure that the Lord is leading us to do it. So they were caught in the middle of a furious storm, we are told. Those who were on the ship lost all hope, verse 20. And they were sure that they would perish in the storm and lose their lives. But Paul was the non-anxious presence. How so, you ask me? How so? Well, what did Paul do with these panicky people when the ship is caught in a storm? Well, he firstly gently rebuked them who were in charge. Rebuked those who were in charge. Rebuked the centurion, the pilot, the captain for ignoring his warning. Then next you watch this. He simply shared God's word with them. He just witnessed on board the ship, there in the midst of a storm. You see, we are told in verses 23 and 24 that an angel of the Lord had visited Paul and told him that the ship and cargo would be lost, but all the passengers would be saved. Paul will make it to Rome as God had promised. And because of Paul, God was gracious to the other 275 passengers on board that ship. God had given Paul a special word of encouragement just at the right time. And Paul took God at his word. And he assured them. What a witness. What a powerful testimony he was to all those frantic people on board that storm-tossed ship. Paul told the people on this ship that they will be safe and that they will survive the storm. But he did not tell them that they could act foolishly. So now you watch. Look at verse 30. In verse 30, we learn that some of the sailors tried to save their lives by getting out of the ship. So they were acting foolishly and not with concern for the other passengers on board the ship. Now, this was not just an act of selfishness.
But this is also an act of unbelief. And so we notice Paul's strong word, strong warning in verse 31. Because of this warning in verse 31, they did stay in the ship and everyone reached land safely, we are told in verse 44. Now Paul also encouraged the crew to eat some food and to regain some of their strength as they had not eaten for 14 days, we are told in verse 33 and verse 34. Paul himself took bread and openly gave thanks to God, and the others followed him. What Paul did was simply openly trusting God and making his faith visible. We talk about the power of someone simply witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the ship ran aground, the only thing the passengers could do was jump into the water and swim to land. But that posed a big problem for the soldiers, isn't it? Will the prisoners try to make an escape? But once again, it was Paul's non-anxious presence that saved their lives. Just as the Lord promised, all of them made it safely to shore, and not one was lost. Now, I have a feeling that Paul has been sharing the gospel with his fellow passengers, and that some of them had trusted in the Lord as a result of this experience. Of course, you could argue that Luke didn't give us such detail here, but I would counter-argue, would you expect to do otherwise? As a matter of fact, we are going to see him doing the very same thing, witnessing wherever he was, whenever he can, in whatever circumstances he found himself in. So, in the midst of the fiercest storm, have no fear of the storm. And when we have no fear of the storm, storm can give us opportunities to serve others and to bear witness to Jesus, like Paul did. Paul was the most valuable man on that ship. He knew how to pray. He had faith in God. He was in touch with God. And he faithfully witnessed for the Lord. Now, Paul witnessed not only on board the ship. Next, we're going to see Paul witness on Malta. Okay, secondly, Paul witnessed on Malta. Acts chapter 28, verse 1 to verse 10. See, Paul and the others with him were shipwrecked on the island of Malta. We have told in Acts chapter 28, verse 1. God had brought them to Malta, and the Malta islanders welcomed all 276 of them and extended great hospitality by doing their best to make them feel comfortable. The storm had abated, but it was still raining and cold, so they had a campfire prepared for the cold and weary sailors. Now, Paul was not one to just sit around. Yeah, he knew how to lend a helping hand, we are told in verse 3. And as the campfire was going, Paul was putting in the wood on the fire. We read that a viper, a snake, fastened on his hand and presumably bit him. Verse 3 and verse 5 and verse 6. Now this reminds us of Paul's experience in Lystra, do you remember, in Acts chapter 14, where he was also bitten by a snake. And at that time, the people thought that their goddess Justice must have caught up with this notorious prisoner who was supposed to drown in the sea but had somehow escaped. Now, this was a very poisonous snake, and the poison will usually begin to take effect in seconds. So when Paul's hand failed to swell up and die, they decided that he must be a god. Paul was a god himself. So in just a few moments, Paul went from being a notorious murderer to be called a god. Paul probably tried to straighten these people out, even as he did earlier on when the people of Lystra thought that he was a god in Acts chapter 14. Now, Paul was only a sinner saved by grace, and a man of God who was able to be used by God in very wonderful ways. Yeah? In Malta, and thanks to Paul, as I said earlier on, they were treated with generous hospitality and furnished with supplies. Since they had lost everything in the shipwreck, I'm sure they were grateful to have their physical needs provided. Now again, Luke says nothing about evangelism of Malta, but I suggest that we must believe that Paul shared the gospel with anybody who would listen. His miraculous deliverance from the shipwreck, the viper that bit him, his power to heal, would certainly arouse the interest of the people and prepare their hearts for the preaching of the gospel. And knowing Paul, I'm sure that he will be a witness for the Lord in being sought and liked for Jesus. Now, Paul not only witnessed on board the ship. Paul not only witnessed on Malta. Thirdly and finally, we see Paul again witnessing for his Lord once he arrived in Rome. Right? Acts chapter 28, verse 11 to verse 31. Paul's witness once he was in Rome. Now, after waiting out the winter months, they set sail in another Alexandrian ship which had wintered there. And finally, after much turmoil, Paul reaches Rome, his destination. Once in Rome, Paul was permitted to stay by himself with the Roman soldiers who guarded him. Now, how about Paul preaching in every circumstance he found himself in? What an amazing man Paul is, that it did not matter what was going on in his life. His first thoughts were always evangelistic. Just after 3 days, we are told, Paul summoned the Jewish leaders and gave an explanation as to why he had come to Rome and why he is in chains. This gave an opportunity for Paul to preach all day long concerning the kingdom of God and to persuade them concerning Jesus. And some were indeed persuaded, although others did not believe. Now, Paul concluded his teaching to those who were living by saying that they were fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, how that they were being unwilling to see and hear about the great work God has done through Jesus Christ. And Paul told them, therefore, he will now preach this message to the Gentiles. For 2 years, Paul welcomed all who visited him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without any hindrance. How about Paul preaching in every circumstance he found himself in? Writing in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to verse 14, this is what he says in that quote. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. Most of the brothers have gained confidence from my imprisonment, and that even more to speak the message fearlessly. While Paul was under house arrest, he preached not only to the people who would come and visit him, but he preached even to the Roman guards before he was chained to. Every soldier that was chained to him would hear about the kingdom of God and the message of Jesus Christ. Finally, Paul had run through every guard so that he could say that his imprisonment had actually furthered the cause of the gospel, and that the gospel had been spread throughout the whole imperial guard. His preaching is the condition. His preaching in this condition, such conditions as this, had gone so far Then you end the letter to the Philippians with these words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, when you conclude the book of Philippians. All the saints greet you. Now listen, who else? But especially those from Caesar's household. Now, Luke, writing the book of Acts, does not tell us about Paul's meeting with Caesar. Luke probably finished writing Acts before Paul spoke in front of Caesar. So there were believers in Caesar's household. There were believers in Caesar's household. This verse assures us that Paul did make it to speak to Caesar in Rome. And some people in Caesar's palace believed the truth about Jesus. Therefore, Paul could tell Timothy in his final letter, writing to his protege in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we must preach the word of God in all circumstances. We must persist in proclaiming the gospel message to one and all. Can you imagine teaching the Caesar's household? Can you imagine preaching to the imperial guard of Rome? That's what Paul did. But unfortunately for us, our motto has become preach the gospel not under all circumstances, but preach the gospel under no circumstances. And so we come up with excuses not to speak about the word of God in nearly every instance that presents itself for us. We assume that people will not want to hear. We think that we rationalize this is not a good time to share. But Paul exhorts us to preach and teach in all circumstances. Let nothing hinder us from witnessing for the Lord. I must conclude, because Luke himself and concluded writing Acts. But before I go, I'd like to remind us that Luke did not write Acts simply to record ancient history. That the book of Acts is not a historical book. Luke wrote Acts to encourage us to be faithful to the Lord and to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth, like the apostle did. In Paul's conversion experience on the road to Damascus, the Lord said this to Paul: "Now get up and stand on your feet. I appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me." The one word that best summarizes Paul's life and ministry is the word witness. Witnessing, and how Paul faithfully shared with others the gospel wherever, whenever, and whatever. So zealous was his witnessing for Jesus that when he witnessed to Festus, Festus responded and loudly accused Paul of being mad. Now how strange that Festus did not think Paul was mad when he was zealously persecuting the church. When he was going out before his Damascus Road experience persecuting the church, Festus didn't think Paul was mad. Now when Paul was zealously preaching the gospel, Festus said, "You are mad." But in any case, Festus was not the first one to call Paul mad. Because Paul writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13 says, "If we are out of our mind, if we are mad, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you." And in so doing, what was he doing? He was following in the footsteps of his Lord and Master Jesus Christ, who himself was called mad and even demoniac. Now finally, Acts does not record the end of Paul's life, but it ends with what he did till his life's end. in the very last verse in Acts chapter 28, verse 31, where Luke says he proclaimed the gospel of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. But we know that from tradition tells us that Paul was found guilty in Rome and probably beheaded outside the city. Now, many other faithful men of God have carried on the work of being Christ's witness to the ends of the earth. John Wesley used to say, and I quote, "God buries his workmen, but his work goes on." Unquote. God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I must be faithful to that, preaching the gospel wherever we can, wherever we are, and under whatever circumstances we may find ourselves in. May God help us. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful time that we at Bethany EFC have had over the last few months studying this great book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, how amazing, amazing book and narrative it is. When your faithful servants, beginning with the apostles that met at the upper room, and then on to Paul, and then to so many others, but particularly, Lord, as we look at Paul's, even the last days of his life, faithfully to your calling, faithfully witnessing for you in whatever circumstances, whenever he finds himself in, wherever he was, whether it's in a shipwreck, whether it's in anywhere, even appearing before Caesar in Rome before he died. Father, we pray you grant us, Lord, a portion of that zeal and that passion to share the gospel with people you brought along our path. Cause us to be faithful, Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.